count
one,
too.
One, two, one, two.
There you go. Anna's counting. There you go. Go again.
One, two, one, two.
Solid. Okay, I'm all, there we go. All right, welcome to the Eric Lang Show.
Hey.
Jeff?
Yeah. Doing good. We have Anna Ross in here today.
Jeff,
hi.
Jeff, do a fucking serious intro. Jeff's a good intro.
Welcome to the Eric Lang Show. Today's special guest, Anna Rossin.
Yay!
Hi! Anna, welcome. I like to, on the show, maybe this gets tiring. My levels? I'm good. Okay. Maybe this gets tiring, but I like for people to introduce themselves the way they would at a party, right? If someone has no idea about golf or anything, what do you say when people say, so what do you do?
That's funny.
It's kind of an
annoying
question.
I tend to pause and then go, lots of different things.
Right.
And then try to avoid.
You try to avoid the question.
It depends who I'm talking to, too, because sometimes I don't want to say, oh, I'm a professional golfer, because then it opens up, okay, oh, my swing, I have this going on and this.
So if you're at like a pro-am, you don't want people to know.
Well, at a pro-am, you can't get away with it.
Or like a pairings party, or if you're at like a golf-ish party, you would try to avoid it.
Yeah, I just say, oh, I play golf.
But at that point, most people know who you are at that point. So the jig is
not up. Not always. I think because I don't typically dress like a golfer.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people, when I would go to LPGA tour events, I had to like, when I drive in, I'd be like, hi. And they'd be like, credentials.
Yeah, wives of players. Wives of players go left.
And I'd be like, oh, well, I guess that's a compliment. I don't know.
Right. So. Yeah. So when you say you don't dress like players, do you mean that you actually have a lot of style? No offense to anybody else.
I don't know if I have style, I don't know. I don't wear my golf clothes when I'm not playing golf.
Right. This is a really beautiful dress you're wearing.
Thank you.
She's got this like sort of like wonderfully tight, but also oversized black dress. Is that what you would call it? Who makes this dress? Let's talk fashion. It's
got to
be
Isabel
Marant.
It is kind of look like an Isabel Marant, but
see,
it's
I know
not.
My fashion. I know my women's fashion.
Oh, good. I love that. I'm a big fan of Isabel Marant.
Yeah.
She's great.
I'm a big fan of her store on Melrose Place.
Oh my gosh, gorgeous, isn't
have
it?
Have you seen the store, Jeff?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
It is like, it's amazing. The store must be a quarter acre or something, or an eighth of an acre, and it's the storefront, but the front of the lot, 7/8 of it is just a cactus garden.
It's a garden, yeah.
And then
it's
you
really
go in the
neat.
Back and they have like 8 dresses. And you're like, how much are these fucking dresses?
There are a lot.
I'm paying for a lot of cactus.
Yeah, that's so true.
I mean, so let's talk about that. Fashion and golf, why is it disconnected somewhat? Do you agree, first of all?
Well, I think it's changing.
Good.
I think for sure. I work with a company named Tory Sport, which Tory Burch started.
Sure. Tori Burch is a legend.
She is a legend.
Like,
she is the nicest person you've ever met.
I've never met her, but I've seen some of the videos that they make, and they make me want to just get out of bed an hour earlier.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. And so she's, you know, there's new companies and, you know, making more fashionable golf clothes. And
I didn't realize Tori Burch was getting into golf.
Yes. Yeah.
Is
her sport line's amazing. Sorry?
How new is this?
I would say like it's 2.5-3 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's
this
relatively
is exciting.
New. Yeah.
Because my girlfriend just got into golf.
Oh, good.
And so it's been a funny thing because, you know, I have golf clothes, right?
Yes.
I started out buying ugly clothes at thrift stores because I was broke. And then I was like, wait, they're actually cool golf clothes. So I started buying a few here and there. But I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a job and you're going to play golf for fun, you got to go buy an outfit. It's like extra. And so, but now, lucky enough, I don't have to pay for golf clothes. But
amazing.
But it is amazing. It's Jeff, I know, is very terribly jealous.
So what's your favorite? I feel like men's has really evolved as well.
Well, I am contractually obliged to tell you that I love bonobos.
Oh, good.
You and really I, love bonobos.
I really
They have such a nice fit, right?
They fit better than any other brand on me, financially speaking. And I also love Adidas.
Okay,
good. Adidas makes the best golf shoe around.
Oh, okay.
But what I was going
to
say.
I beg to differ.
This is a lot. You're more into G4, let me guess.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
How does
G4? But that's more style, right?
Right.
And comfort, so.
But what I was getting at was Max is getting into golf, and, you know, it's so exciting to share that with her. But at the same time, it's quite difficult to navigate women's golf fashion.
Yes.
And I remember she's like, what should I wear? And I'm like, fuck. I don't know. There's like, I got to pay attention to like inches.
Yes.
You know,
I've got still dress codes.
Yeah. I've got some amount of inches above your knee that I have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
I think you
Not
should be able to
places.
Wear a tennis skirt.
Yes.
But that's a no-no.
Well, some places, like at Riviera, there seem to be okay with
Riviera's lax.
Yeah, they're lax.
I should have just made a lot more money and joined there.
Right? Exactly.
Wilshire is pretty... Wilshire is where I'm a member.
Yeah.
And what's funny is they sold... She's tall. Mm-hmm. They sold her an outfit...
And then said it was too short.
That is illegal.
Yes. That happens. I know, because she has long legs. So something that on someone who has shorter legs would work. But yeah, I know it's kind of
for the
weird.
Shorties out there, you've got more options.
Yeah, I think skirt length is, you know, silly.
Let's leave it behind. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's a fucking skirt. I'm not naked.
Right.
You know?
And if and no one's going to be like wearing like a... like Daisy Dukes to the golf course. Like, you know, most people that play golf are older and they're not going to be, you know.
Oh, it's so bizarre. So different golf courses have different rules as far as dress
code. Yeah, LACC, I think it's 1 inch above the knee.
1 inch?
1 inch,
yeah. Jeez, do you also have to be 85 to play?
And they won't even let you wear a capri.
Whoa, what's a capri? Oh, capri. A short pant.
Yes.
Right. Do you like capris?
I do, yeah. They're cool.
Capris are not good on men.
Well, that's the trend too, like shants.
Right.
Wait. Short pants.
Short pants?
Chance. Oh, that's like the men's version of a capri?
Yes. But it's a little longer, but it's like a thing. So you see your sock and you see your shoe.
I'll wear a slightly short pant, but it's not a shant. It's more of a sant. Spant.
Okay.
I don't know. But Ricky Fowler kind of pushes the envelope along these lines.
Yeah, he does.
What do you think?
I like it.
What's your take?
I'm up for anything that's different, you know?
Who's your best-dressed male pro golfer?
Who is the best-dressed?
Yeah, in your opinion. Don't worry, no one's listening. This is, by the way, the only people listening to this podcast are my mom and my dad and Jeff when he goes to edit it later.
And bonobos.
I know that's not true. I think Billy Horschel looks really good.
That's a really good example. Yeah, I love Billy. Billy's
great.
He's
a lovely guy, too, so we'll throw him a bone.
And he plays with color really well.
He does. Yeah. I love it when people show emotion.
Yeah. And he has to wear that massive Polo logo, which is, I must hurt his shoulders, you know?
Yeah. I also think Jordan Spieth looks good.
Jordan Spieth looks pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I like it.
Not Tiger, though, huh?
Yeah.
You know
no,
who
I'm not
really,
a fan
you
of
know
his
who
style.
I really like?
Wasn't he a big fan of the pleats, remember? Pleated pants.
He had these balloon pants.
Right?
They
I think
actually,
now he wears flat front.
They doubled as a parachute, I heard, like when he was working with the Navy SEALs. But you know who I like is Robert Rock.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He has the best hair in golf.
Have you seen Robert Rock, Jeff?
No.
He's amazing.
He's an unsung hero of the European
Tour. Didn't
he
play well last week too or something?
He probably did. So I got a chance to talk to Robert Rock. Yeah. And I said, what the fuck, man? No hat.
Yeah. Why would you put a hat on that hair?
He has amazing hair.
It's perfect.
Every golfer I've ever seen wears a hat.
Every golfer wears a hat or a visor. Robert Rock does not. And it's at the expense of his own, potential advertising opportunities.
Oh, right.
He loses money by choosing not to wear a hat. How cool is that?
That is cool.
I was just like...
Maybe it hurts his head or he gets headaches or something? Is there
any
reason?
Maybe the price of the hat, the headache, isn't worth the headache.
There you go. I don't know.
I mean, it's like, I was just like, literally, I developed so much respect for a person who decided for reasons outside of their own pocketbook to not do something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever done anything like that? Like, no.
I have. Like, I had, you know, in my career, opportunities to do things that would pay a lot, but, you know, wasn't really on brand.
Right.
Like, so.
Hooters?
No, not quite Hooters, but you know, things like that. And it's so funny because the whole landscape has evolved now, and now you don't have to worry about any of that stuff because you're your own brand because you have social media and you can get your voice out there no matter what. But back when I was playing, there was no social media, and so you had to rely on like hopefully Golf Digest will write an article about me or put me on the cover or something like that. Right. And now you don't.
And then so when you would get that cover, you would be basically, you would have an opportunity to essentially be already with certain clothing brands.
Right.
And then contractually you would wear those and that's how you would make money on the side. Or I mean, I don't know how it works then because I only know, and I don't even know, how it works now. You know what I mean?
Right. With influencers or with what? Yeah.
Like, how did it work then? Like, I don't understand.
Then,
yeah, if you're sort of just waiting on a media outlet to write something,
Yeah.
How to, yeah.
I mean, you sign deals with sponsors, right, and they just, you know, hope you're going to get exposure, one, on the course, and then two, through media.
Right.
So whether it's, you know, on TV or then you have to play well to get on TV.
That's the hard part.
Or, you know, do you have an interesting story and will people want to write about you?
Right.
So, you know, you just got to count on that. And so I actually worked with a publicist when I played,
right,
and was able to generate a lot of press, which was great for my sponsors. They loved it. And that's why I had great deals. But
right,
now, I mean, you have your own outlet. It's like amazing. We've seen all these stars like emerge, you know, in golf, which I don't think we would have.
No, I think you're right. I think I definitely wouldn't have a job.
Right? There you go. I don't know about that, but
well,
you would have just found a way in.
It's just so interesting. It's so different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you look at like, you know, the way, I don't know. I mean, how do you consume your content? What do you look at? When you pull your phone out and you're like, I've got a free 10 minutes, what do you look at?
Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so who do you like to follow on Instagram?
I follow
golf, outside, whatever. Otherwise,
I follow everything, like fashion,
right,
brands for sure. I follow a lot of golfers.
Who's your favorite golfer to follow? Couple. You can name a few, whatever. It doesn't matter.
I really like Paige Spiranak.
Oh, really? She was on the podcast.
She was?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I should have listened to her.
She's actually, but she's a really thoughtful, kind,
yes,
person.
And yeah, I think she's funny, and I just think she's so cute, and like,
but I experienced a cool disconnect in between her personality and her Instagram personality.
Oh, really?
I mean, okay. I'm sure you've met her.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You don't see that.
Her you don't Instagram see any personality disconnect in her? No, I think it's like so authentic.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's her. I mean, it's funny because, yeah, I guess on Instagram she comes off as this bombshell, you know,
right,
she's gorgeous, and,
right,
you know, but in real life she's like the total girl next door,
right,
and she's like cute and like, you know, just doesn't come off as the bombshell. But I don't know, knowing her, I see all that person and her captions and her personality is kind of shows you that she's girl next door, even though, see, maybe you just can't get past
the
body.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one hell of a
what's
body.
What's up top?
So yeah,
if you know her page, she has very large breasts.
Yes,
and
she looks,
you know,
amazing.
Is there a male equivalent to Paige? There isn't really.
I don't.
There
well,
isn't.
Was well, I guess the Bryan brothers, right, in the beginning.
Bryan brothers,
maybe.
Well, they were doing trick shots.
I think there are male style golf.
Wait, is it me?
Isn't there?
Am I the male equivalent to Paige Spiranak? No talent. And no, that's, I should.
That's
I
not
don't
true.
Mean
I think
it.
You had an eagle the other day.
Boom!
Oh.
I did.
A hole out eagle.
It was one of those magical moments in golf, so, where you're like,
yeah, that doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, when
no.
I read that, what is a hole out eagle? What does that
oh.
mean? I'm learning right now as we go.
Explain.
Anna and I can tell you.
Yeah, it's like the greatest thing ever.
So it's on a par 4. And you've hit a good drive, or you've hit a drive, mm-hmm. and your second shot, which is probably somewhere between, you know, 50 to 200 yards,
yeah.
goes in the hole.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And so it's like Louis Oosthuizen had an albatross hole out at the Masters. Remember
right.
that?
Yeah, 2 on a par 5.
So he was on the second hole. It's
number
a par
two,
five.
Yeah.
He just hit a good 3-wood that rolled up, kept rolling, and went in the hole.
Huh?
And so it's like a hole in one, but it's not.
It's for your second shot.
Yeah. yeah.
But it's still awesome. Nothing feels better.
In the moment, it feels just as good. But
and I don't know why it's so much easier to have a double, have an eagle hole out than a hole in one. Why is that?
It is. That's strange.
Isn't that strange?
Well, I think
like I feel like I have one of those a year, but like I've only had one hole in one in my life.
Whoa, that's
right?
not enough.
I know. Yeah. It's not fair.
And was it during a tournament?
And I aim at it every single time.
You just aim at the flag.
That's my like biggest goal in golf right now, is to make a hole in one every
so
time I play.
Every par 3.
And I announce it every time.
Do you walk up to every par 3 and you say it?
It's time. It's going to happen.
I fucking mm-hmm. respect that so much. And I do it also.
You do? And okay.
Because I have one. So at least
so
I'm like,
the same thing.
At least I'm clear.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not
yeah.
like.
Yeah, we're clear.
I'm not like.
Where was yours?
Rustic Canyon.
Oh, okay, cool.
Rustic Canyon on the, I can't ever remember the hole number. I have the flag in the garage.
You can't?
It was like, I should figure this out.
In fact, I don't remember my hole number either.
You see,
I had mine at Q School in the practice round. How boring!
Wait,
hello?
No,
practice round.
Anna, that's not boring. That's gangster.
That's
you were in fucking Q School
in the practice round.
Oh, so it doesn't count or what?
No, practice round.
But it counts for you.
Yes, but like lame. the people I was playing with were like, high five, not really.
Oh, I see. Because you could have shaved two strokes off your game at Q school.
Right.
Did you get through Q school?
Yes.
Okay, you got through. Rolls her eyes. Totally got through.
Of course I did.
Hang on, I gotta find out what hole this is. Rustic Canyon.
No, I don't remember which.
Have you played there?
I have, yeah.
It's a great course.
So fun.
You mostly play at Riv?
Mostly, yeah.
Great course. Okay, here we go. Rustic Canyon, that's the back nine.
But I used to play Rustic Canyon a lot.
It's a fun course. Rustic Canyon, it was the... What the hell?
On the back nine?
Yeah, it was seven, no.
That little par three, the...
Six. It was the sixth hole.
That 100-yard one?
No, 200 yards.
Oh, okay.
I hit a four iron there, six.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I got the course
move. Oh, that's good.
It was good. It was a drawing four iron. Didn't see the ball go in. Didn't believe. The guy. The guy was like,
check the hole. Set up a camera at the hole before you.
Yeah. The guy I was playing with who I didn't know was like, check the hole. And I was like, don't be an asshole, all right? We're not trying to make me feel like an idiot here. And then finally I looked everywhere. So I did look in the hole and I was like, huh. There it is. So it was a very weird experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I heard a story about, who was it? Some prankster on the PGA Tour. I cannot remember whose name it was. Had a group behind him playing up, and he put their ball in the hole on a par three.
He did?
Isn't that fuck?
That's mean.
Like that person is now going to go through their entire life Thinking that they have a
really had a hole in one and they didn't. Wow.
But at that point,
I don't know, maybe it's good for them.
At that point,
like build up their confidence.
But if he goes on to get like six more. But at that point, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I had the same feeling. I was lucky enough to get to play Augusta recently.
Right.
And
I read about it.
I look at it as, okay, done.
Done in terms of what?
I got it done. I did it.
Right.
I did it. It's almost like I passed a level on a video game and I never have to go back there. You know what I mean?
That's true. It's definitely a bucket list item, isn't it?
It's like, all right, cool. I'm good. I can die way sooner than I might have otherwise wanted to die. Not that
so
even
what'd
really.
What do you think? You loved it, right?
Have you played?
Yes. Yeah. Spectacular.
What did I think? Well, I mean, I typically say that my experience was like twofold. One was the experience of the lottery was incredibly fun and exhilarating and like, you know, very special. And then the experience of playing was very dreamlike. Mm-hmm. We were like in a cloud. It was like kind of rainy. I set myself up for like, here's what I said. I want a birdie 12.
Oh my gosh.
Or hole in one. And I want an eagle 13 and 15.
Wow. Ambitious.
And birdie 16.
Wow.
So that was.
How'd you do?
That was like 10 over through those four.
Not always good to set expectations, right?
It was raining that
day. Did you play the par three?
No.
Oh,
no, it wasn't
offered.
You have to go back.
It
wasn't offered.
You have to go back and do that.
Yeah.
You will.
I might happen.
Life is long.
Yeah.
When I join, I'll invite you.
Are you thinking about it? You're not allowed to talk about it, though, if you want to join.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not in the
cards
for me.
They make it very serious.
Who wouldn't want to join?
Do you know several members? Is that how you go down there? Don't worry, I won't ask you their names.
Yeah, I know some people.
Currently.
Yeah,
and
some friends.
And what does that look like? Can you just, because here's the deal. The people listening to these podcasts are just, they're just literally driving to work right now. And they're like, probably, it might be snowy. And they're just like, I want to fucking think about golf.
Yes.
So can you paint a picture of what it looks like when Anna Rawson gets the call to go to Augusta?
It's awesome. Yeah, it's really awesome. When I got the call, I got lucky. I got so lucky. Someone dropped out of a guy's trip and I was in the right place at the right time. They're like, hey, you want to come? And I'm like, sure.
Where were you?
I was at Seminole in Palm Beach.
Okay.
And
another okay course.
Yes.
Top five.
Yeah. And I was playing in a member pro tournament there, like a little one day thing. It was so fun.
And so wait, how does that work? Member pro. So you're down there as like a invited guest?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And how many pros are there? Just you?
No, there's like, I don't know how many, but say like 90.
Right. Okay.
Pros.
Oh,
maybe even 100. I don't know.
Okay.
So the morning tea times, afternoon tea times, maybe not that many. But it's like all, you know, all the guys. It's like Ricky and, you know, Justin Thomas. Like, you go to the range and you're like, wow. I must say that Seminole has the best white-haired swings on the range I've ever seen in my life. Like, these guys, like, it looks like, you know, you see the beautiful white hair and these fit guys, and right. like, their swings are like on plane and like perfect.
Love it.
Like,
love
you must be 70.
Right.
I'm like,
well, they live in Florida, so they're clearly very wealthy to be that interested in avoiding income tax. And
maybe it's the second home. I don't know.
Yeah,
right?
It could be.
Yeah.
Is this a televised event at Seminole?
No. It's just like a thing they do, like, the Honda's being played there, so they do it the Monday after. And I think it's a fun event, and like, I think
I've never even heard of this.
Oh, I think Honda I was the classic, only yeah. woman, maybe. Or maybe there's like a couple of women that right. play in it. But yeah, I was just lucky to get invited.
So
and
you
then,
play.
And so, and yeah, then they were like, oh.
Where are you when they ask you? I want every little detail.
I think it was a phone call. And at the time, it was funny. I was like, you know, playing professionally. And so the thought of like a fun golf trip wasn't, you know, on my mind. You know, if I'm going to go have fun and have a week off, like, I'm going to, like, a beach or Vegas or something. Yeah. So it was, my reaction probably wasn't as good as it should have been.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let me just check my schedule.
Amazing.
And so, and then I was like, of course I'm going to go. Of course I'm going to. This is so exciting and so fun and so appreciative. And it was like the funnest group. And the coolest part was we stayed in Butler Cabin.
Wow.
And when we went to dinner, so we stayed overnight. So we did 2 days of golf. And I was the only woman in the dining room. And
is there two different dining rooms? Or was it just all open? I can't. You know, like one for men, one for women?
So I played it before there were women members. So I remember I couldn't go somewhere for lunch where a lot of people ate. So my host had to sit outside with me.
Yeah. Under the umbrellas?
Yes. Yes.
Classy
which was
spot.
Like so
that's an
beautiful.
Upgrade. I say you got upgraded.
And then, yeah, it was amazing. I didn't care. And then for dinner, I was the only woman in the dining room. And it was so cute. This man came up to me at the table and he's like, I understand your... you know, Anna Rawson, and you went to USC, and he goes like this, and he has his blazer on, and he goes, psh, and the inside of his blazer is all USC emblems.
Trojan.
He's like, I went there too. And I'm like, you're like the cutest guy ever. Like, I love you. He must have been like 80 years old, 90 years old, you know. It was the cutest thing ever. So
it's so cool how, you know, no matter where we are, so we find something in common with people.
Yeah. And he was so lovely. And then the coolest thing about Augusta is they're like, what would you like for dinner? And you're like, wait.
Straight up.
Yeah.
No menu.
Whatever you want.
What?
Yeah.
That really plays on the imagination.
Right?
Chinese food or anything?
Yes.
Sushi?
What did you get? What?
I don't even remember.
Whoa.
And then the wine is crazy.
Oh, they it's a like crazy wine list.
One of the best in the world, I think. I think they have the most cases of Screaming Eagle. And,
whoa.
You know, so it was... I don't even remember what I ate because the wine was probably so good. I was just drinking the wine.
Right.
And then in the rooms, they have like all the old Masters. So you can watch like, you know, the 1972 Masters. And like
on DVD?
Yes.
Amazing.
So I think we were watching like Arnold Palmer like win. And like it's just like the
coolest
thing.
What a cool, you know, Augusta and the Masters do such a good job of walking you through time.
Yes.
Even with my experience at the Media Center, like it was a museum.
Yeah,
dedicated to the people in the media. It was really special.
That's cool. And then how exciting about the women's amateur.
Yeah, that was crazy news.
Great. I was not expecting that. I just happened to have it on in the morning and I was like, my mouth was like, that's so exciting.
I was actually at Champions Gate when they made that announcement.
Oh, cool. And what is that like, that place?
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time. Did you hear your elbow?
No.
Did you hit your elbow?
It was loud.
It's a lot of, sometimes the mic stand here, wish I was that ready.
Oh, that sounds like a, you're strumming.
It's an instrument.
Let's go.
I can't play music? It. No?
No, I'm not musically talented.
There's a lot of famous singers that come out of Adelaide.
There are?
You don't know?
No.
You don't know? Oh, no, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
My ex-wife is from Adelaide and she's a very well-known singer. You didn't know that?
That. Wow.
You don't know Sia the singer? Anna doesn't know. Cheers to fucking you. Cheers. Cheers to my coffee.
I'm so bad.
You know what's great about that is because a lot of people I don't know. When I went to Adelaide, it was kind of a shit show because of that. Because, right. You know, well, did you grow up with Adam Scott?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he moved to Queensland by the time I, like, he went to that golf school.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the name of it in Queensland.
With Jason? Did he go there too?
I don't know if Jason went there, but it was like, you know, I think they got off at like noon and then they golfed all afternoon. I can't Sick. Remember the name of it. But yeah, he was up there. So he'd moved and his whole family was there. So I just knew him from playing all the junior tournaments where right. it would be co-ed. And he was like a massive star yeah. when I just started. Like,
well, he's incredibly good looking.
And it's yeah, like, everyone loved him. And he always had a girlfriend.
Right.
And so, but like, but not who you would expect.
Were you interested?
I mean, everyone loved him.
I was interested.
I don't know that I would have been, like, from afar, definitely, because he was, like, winning all the tournaments, and he was, like, good-looking and all that.
Right.
But I think maybe personality-wise, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he has that, like, a common pro golfer trait, which is they're just, like, really serious.
Yeah.
You know?
But he's very thoughtful.
Yeah.
And so I love, like, listening to him. And,
like, his smile just is a poem, you know?
Yeah.
When he smiles, like, yeah. it's just like, oh, my God.
But he was, like, he just seems so, like, mature. Like, yeah. I think he's a year or two older than me, but I remember, like, he was just, like, we'd be at all the airport, we'd be, like, sitting on the floor and, like, that, and right. he'd be, like, standing there with his, like, suitcase, like, ready to travel. Like, I mean, he was like he was like a Burberry endorsement, like, yeah. back then. He was just like professional in every way, and we were just like, you know, hadn't figured it
sweats,
out.
Like pink sweats.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
He's kind of posh in that way.
Yeah, not he was very thing. Elegant. I would say
he's one of the only. He is the only that I know of golfer sponsored by Uniqlo,
right.
The Japanese H&M.
And they also have Djokovic, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yes. I'm a big tennis fan.
I love tennis. Did you see the tennis this morning?
I didn't. Who won?
Fucking Nadal. I love Nadal.
He just owns the French Open, doesn't he?
I love Nadal. I love Nadal's ass.
Oh,
he's a huge ass.
It's amazing,
he's got
right?
the biggest ass on TV. Like, he's
and
making
when
Serena.
He picks his wedgie. Yeah. It's so huge.
Like, Serena has a tiny ass compared to Nadal.
Oh,
and,
I love Serena.
And the way he's just insane with his sweat.
Right.
You know, like, it's just, yeah. he wipes each brow like 9 times with a different hand. And I wasn't sitting that close to the television this morning, but I was realizing, does he play a double backhand for both shots right now?
I think he sometimes does.
It looked like he was double handing both shots. And I was like, you're an alien.
You're
like, how
badass.
Do you even do that?
Right.
Do you play a lot of tennis?
I do normally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since having a baby, I don't.
What's play that as like? Much. Two? How old now?
6 months.
6 months.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you celebrate that as? Half birthday?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually going out with my gynecologist who delivered her.
I almost spit up my coffee when you said that.
And my doula, who was in the room tomorrow night to celebrate. So we're doing a little reunion.
They were both there. They were actually the first people to meet your daughter.
Exactly. They were. So, yeah, it's great. It's very busy. I would say my life is now. Like,
yeah, it must
busier.
Be crazy. Do you but do a nanny awesome. Or do you do it, or how do you do it?
Yes. Yeah, I have help. Which
and so,
is great.
And so, how does the nanny work? Do they come in at night? What do they? How do you? Because you, what is your day like?
My day is so I wake up and I feed
right
in the morning, and
that sounds almost like you're a zombie a little bit, but it's,
right.
I get it. It's a motherly thing.
I'm kind of like a cow now, so I'm breastfeeding, which is a big job in itself, and it's crazy. Like, I brought snacks here because I've never been so hungry in my life.
Right,
you burn a lot of calories, so. I'm also the thinnest I've been in my life, which I don't love, but I'm just trying to eat more. You can eat so much, which is great, because I've like now I have like croissants and pasta.
You can eat whatever the fuck you want.
Whatever I want.
Really?
And not gain a pound. It's so crazy.
That's the answer is if you want to keep a man or lose some weight, just have a kid.
Just have a kid. Exactly. That's but great. I don't think it works like that for everyone, because I have friends that like had to stop breastfeeding to lose the weight. So I don't know.
You're Australian, but your heritage feels to me like Nordic, Swedish, maybe.
No,
totally wrong. German.
Well, actually I did that ancestry DNA thing.
And what did
I
it say?
Was mainly English, Irish, and a little bit of Scandinavia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not wrong, but I'm not right.
Yes.
I got it.
Yeah.
I'm
completely Aussie, although I don't even sound like it.
So you wake up, you breastfeed, you can eat whatever the fuck you want leading up to that.
And then I do either Pilates or yoga.
Great. In the house.
Every day. Yep. In the house.
Every day.
Yeah. Pretty much. Or not Weekends, I don't.
I'm already feeling self-conscious about my own habits here. So wait, you, and then how long do you do the workout for?
An hour. Yeah.
Okay. And then?
And then it just depends, you know, what's going on, whether.
Right.
But then usually after that, then I have to feed again because you feed every 2 to 3 hours.
Jeez.
So then you feed and then, you know, I might hang out, play with my daughter until she goes to sleep.
Right.
She usually goes to bed like at 1 and then I can go play golf.
Oh, you go play golf in the middle of the day?
Yeah, usually. That's great. At this time.
Do you live far from Riviera?
3 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I can go work on my swing.
I'm now realizing who I want to be reincarnated as. your next child.
Right? She's so lucky.
That would be great.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to get us started in golf.
How do you think that's going to go?
I don't know. She seems very determined. We had her swimming at like 7 weeks, so I feel like she will like it.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, I started at 13, so
Whoa. She
has a leg
up on me.
Very
late.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know, you know, we'll just see. I just want to like her to have fun. I just want her to play and be able to play it throughout her life.
Right.
Like she doesn't have to be professional. She doesn't have to be good. She just has to like want to play with her dad.
She
and
just
play with
has
me.
To play with him.
Right?
What if your child is like, what if you end up raising, I can't think of her name, Miley Cyrus? What's her name?
Oh, my gosh. Miley Cyrus.
What's her name?
Well, that Hannah Montana's
Hannah
the
Montana.
Character.
Oh, I had it backwards.
Oh, my gosh. So she's like an actress?
What if she ends up being like a crazy, drug-addicted, shaved head, like L.A. girl? It could happen.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to move to Bend, Oregon or something.
Is that on the table?
I
Bend is pretty amazing.
Right? It's so close to Mandan.
Bend is really cool. There's actually a bunch of athletes that live there.
Really?
I found this out. Okay. Yeah, I was just there.
Okay, cool.
And there's a bunch of athletes. We flew in direct flight from LA.
Oh, wow.
On United.
That's good to know. Cha-ching. See, there you go.
And it's really beautiful for half the year. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just quiet.
Yeah. That or Wilmington, North Carolina. I think it's beautiful.
Not for me.
No?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, North Carolina. I thought you said Wilmington, Delaware.
No, Wilmington, North Carolina. North Carolina is also beautiful.
How far is that from Pinehurst?
I don't know exactly.
We have no idea.
Yeah.
North Carolina, actually, on the map, I'm pretty sure it's just a question mark.
It's so beautiful down there. I feel like those are two places, not that many people know about, and they're so nice, and they're quiet, and so if you're kid goes crazy, I think you move there.
Right.
You get out of LA.
Yeah.
Although Miley Cyrus seemed to have come through, right? I mean, now
I think she's
on
doing
The
okay
Voice.
Now.
Yeah. She's,
oh, is she on The Voice?
Yeah. Well, she was. I don't know.
I don't
she's
on
this
it.
Season, but yeah, she seems to have got it back together.
I canceled my cable subscription.
Oh,
so now
okay.
I can't even
Good.
Watch sporting events.
Okay.
And so it's tough for the NBA finals. I can't watch.
You know about YouTube TV, right?
Yeah.
$40 a month and you get all the channels.
By the way, $40 a month. That's a lot of money, Jeff. That's $500
a month. Yeah, but you know, normal cable is like 100 something a month.
That's true.
So.
You're too busy. You don't have time for that.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what benefit am I getting from watching the NBA finals? What do you watch on television? Do you watch anything? What do you do while you breastfeed? That's actually a question I have. Is that a creepy question?
No, I don't tend to. I know a lot of people like go on their phone and stuff like that. Sometimes I'll talk on the phone. Like if someone calls me, I'll talk on the phone. But I more just stare at my daughter and go, "You have the most amazing skin." And I'm so amazed by the whole thing. So I'm just kind of like,
you've got to still
crazy.
Be at a high point.
Yeah.
You've got to still be very high off it.
Yeah. I just think it's the most craziest thing. Like I'm feeding her. Like I still haven't quite come to grips with how incredible it is, and just that she changes so much like every day, and it's so exciting, and I'm just like I'm so into her. So maybe that's why I tend to focus. I try to be present with what I'm doing.
Right.
I try not to be like doing two things at once.
I have the same awe in my life when I come into my bedroom after a long day and I'm like, oh my God, I actually did make the bed this morning. I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm kidding. Yeah. That was a really bad joke. I thought, well, because it was like the idea of like, I don't know.
The equivalency there is, you know.
What I was trying to get at is how, you know, I don't know. I mean, how does your husband handle it?
The baby?
Yeah, he must be. Is it different for a man and a woman at this stage?
Yes.
That's what I was trying
to get. I think so. Yeah, for sure. He loves it. He's excited. He likes to wake her up. That's his kind of role, to go in and get her and bring her to me, and then I feed her in bed. But yeah, he loves it. He's very into it. I think surprised himself that he was so into the baby and wants to come home early from work and see her and bathe her and change her diaper and do all that stuff. So yeah, it's funny.
Cause he was like, I don't know what, you know, what it's going to be. I don't know. For me, like as a guy, I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know. Some guys aren't into babies at all. Cause you don't get that much feedback. So I think it's hard when the mom is doing a lot of stuff. So, but yeah, I think you never know what you're going to be like.
Right.
But it's really fun. You guys should do
Congratulations. Jeff and I together. Jeff, should we adopt a child?
Yes, do it.
We should.
Why not?
I'll co-adopt Snowball. That'll count.
You can definitely take Snowball when I'm traveling. Here, ask her a question. I'm going to open up the AC.
Okay. It was interesting. You mentioned that about participating in co-ed golf tournaments in Australia. So is that pretty common?
Not in terms of competing against the men. It's more just like, for instance, there was this Jack Newton International Junior Classic, and that was played men and women, same course. Yeah. So I think it was like a group of women teed off and a group of men. So you didn't play with the men.
Oh, so
but
it wasn't
played
competitive one against the other.
No, but you were just playing the same course, which is kind of cool to see the scores, you know, how the women would do versus the men.
Yeah.
So there was a couple of those tournaments a year, and you had to get like selected by your state to go and playing them, and the state would send like two or three people. So it was like the best players that would play in those. It was really fun.
How did it come about playing at USC, going from Australia to moving out to California?
I was a top-ranked junior player in Australia, so I was recruited to come to America. And I had some friends that came, like Adam Scott went to UNLV, and Wade Ormsby, who plays on the European tour, he went to Houston. And so I had some people, some friends go, and they just said, you'd love it. You know, this is, I like to study as well. So they were like, oh, I had really good grades, so that helped, and a good SAT. Yeah. So I was recruited basically everywhere, like any school.
Oh, so you really had your pick of any school?
I did, but I was not very smart about it. I didn't know a lot about schools, and all I knew was like Tiger Woods went to Stanford. But other than that, like I didn't know about Ivy League or anything like that. So I would get calls from like Harvard and Yale, and they'd be like, hey, come here. And I'd look on a map and go, it snows there. No way. Like that was my decision making, which was terrible. But it worked out because I just decided, like my dad was like, you have to decide on the state and let's just pick all the schools in the state and focus on those. And so we picked California because it's one flight from Australia. And then I looked at USC, UCLA, Stanford, San Jose State, because they were all in the top 10. So I thought, in the women's golf rankings, so in the NCAA rankings. So I thought, okay, well, one of those will work. And ended up at USC.
What is the transition like going from college to trying to get into the LPGA?
It was big transition, yeah. I was more academic. I was like very well-rounded kind of in college. Like I partied, I, you know, studied, I played golf. I was kind of like, I always wanted to be like a well-rounded person. So I wasn't like so focused on golf. So it wasn't until my junior year that my coach kind of pulled me aside and said, hey, like, you know, we have a chance to win the national title. So if you actually focus, like you could, you know, we could win. Yeah. So I was like, okay. So I spent that semester, I dropped 4 units and only had 12 units and focused on golf, and then we won the NCAAs. So, and I finished like 11th in the tournament. So I was like, oh, wow, if I really focus, I know I can play and, you know, it'd be good. So I just needed to spend the time. So unfortunately, I didn't spend 4 years like working on my golf swing, getting where I need to go. I was having fun. So when I got out of college, I was like, okay, now I need a coach and a trainer and like all this thing.
So that was like a full-time job preparing to qualify.
Yeah, so I got a coach and a trainer and all of that, and started working on my swing, and was lucky enough to qualify. I got to final stage, but didn't end up making it, thankfully, because I would have been not good enough. And then played 1 year on the mini tour in the US, and then went back to Q school and was just burned out and didn't actually make it through first stage, and then decided to go to European tour school. And then I like came runner up at European tour school, and then ended up playing on the European tour and playing was successful there.
Was that more fun?
It was so fun.
Yeah, I've heard that's way more fun somehow.
It was so great. It was hard. Now it would be a lot easier because you have like FaceTime and all of that, though that didn't exist back then. We were like BlackBerry Messenger.
Right.
Remember those days? And Skype on our computer. And it was like so, you know, so it was harder to travel to Europe and more expensive, but it was awesome. Like 1 week being in Germany and then I would play my round and then I'd practice for like an hour and then I'd go into Munich and sit in cafes and hang out and go shopping. And then we would all stay in the same hotel. So it would be like, you know, you come down and you're having dinner with the French girls and all the Swedish girls and like everyone would kind of hang out together. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, their mom and their dad and their manager and the coach.
Right.
And it was just you and the other players. And some of them had caddies, some didn't. And all the caddies hung out with the players. It was all just like very community. And it was so fun. And I loved that. And I loved the girls. It was just really
That's cool.
nice. Yeah.
I want to do that.
It was awesome. I wished I probably maybe should have stayed there. But then, you know, your goal as a golfer is to be the best and play with the best. And I was lucky because when I played on the European Tour, a lot of the European players were the top players in the LPGA and they would come back and play in Europe. So I did get chances to play against Annika and Suzanne and, you know, the top players. So it made me more comfortable when I went to the LPGA because I'm like, oh, I've played with them.
Right.
You know. But it was great, but I missed it. Once I got the LPGA, and I'm like in Ohio. I'm like, this is not Munich.
It's weird.
I was like, I'm going to the Holiday Inn Express, and then I'm like trying to find an organic cafe. Forget it. You know, like it was just so different. I was like, wow, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the movies, maybe.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I found it hard. The first year was exciting because you're like, I've never been to these places. So even in Springfield, Illinois, I can find something fun to do. And then also the pressure on the LPGA, you feel the pressure to practice more. So you're, you know, after your round, you're grinding it out because you look over the putting green and there's like 17 girls on there, like just grinding.
Wow.
So you're like, well, shit, maybe I should go do that instead of going to the movies.
Right.
So, it was just like a different level. And then you're exhausted. So then you just go back to your hotel and veg out.
Right.
So, yeah. It's kind of a weird
You know, one of the things like I love to do is, you know, travel and play golf and it's probably my favorite thing to do. And you know, I don't know, like a lot of I'm curious to know if you've had any experiences from traveling and golf that sort of stick out to you as highlights from your life in you know, golf. Not necessarily competitively, you know, but whatever.
Definitely. When I played on the European Tour, I had a break 1 week between I played in, I think, Tenerife, this island, and then I played in Spain and I had a week break. And this company was interested in sponsoring me called Soto Grande. And they have these resorts in Spain. And so I went to the resort during my week off with my dad. And we like just hung out there and played golf and got to know the resort and, you know, and the people that ran the resort and kind of talked about a deal. And that was like my way of meeting them, which is amazing. And they were like, would you like to play Valderrama? And we're like, yes. And set us up to play there. And that was just epic. I mean, just that was the nicest course I'd ever seen.
Valderrama is the original Valderrama.
Yes. Yeah. And it was just,
I don't actually know anything about it. Is it in Spain?
It's in Spain, yeah. They played like the Ryder Cup there.
The second year, one is famous. In America.
Oh, there is one in America?
I think there's one in America. Or maybe I'm thinking of something else.
It was just so like perfect, you know, like the greens were like so fast. It was like playing Augusta conditions, you know, like it was just so beautiful and it was like a warm, gorgeous day. And I was like, wow, with my dad, who like, you know, was just over the moon that he got this experience.
Did he have, what was his role in getting you involved in golf, your father?
He loves golf. He plays like 280 rounds a year or something. He's the most rounds at his club every year.
At Glen Elg in Adelaide?
At Glen Elg Golf Club.
No way.
Yeah. There's nothing more he would rather do like than play golf. He loves it. So yeah, he was the one that actually got me to play, and actually signed me up for this golf camp in Adelaide. Because I was naturally good at most sports right away, and golf, I was terrible. Like, I couldn't get the ball in the air. It wasn't intuitive to me. So I just was like, whatever, this kind of sucks. Like, because I would, like, throw a softball and throw it perfectly, and I could hit home runs. And, you know, like, everything came easy to me, but golf did not. So I was like, I'm not really going to play this game.
Right.
And so he signed me up for this golf camp with all women, or were girls back then. I was in seventh grade, going into eighth grade, and I'd been playing for, like, 4 months, and I was like, of golf, like, oh my gosh, and no boys, like, are you kidding me? This sounds like torture,
right?
And so we rock up at this golf thing that my dad finds and signs me up for, and the women that running the show were like, oh, you know, my dad was talking to them, like, oh, my daughter's just started, and they were like, oh, that's great, we're glad she could come. And he was like, you know, we're going to do this and, you know, do some clinics. And by the end of the, you know, 3 days, we're going to select a team to go, you know, play against Victoria, and then a state team that will play against all the states in Australia at the end of it. But, you know, your daughter's a beginning, so she won't be up for any of that. But, you know, that's what we do at the end of the camp. And so my dad's like, okay, great, whatever, you know, have fun, see ya. And so once I got instruction at the camp, once someone told me what to do, I could do it right away. So I was like, oh, that's how you hit a bunker shot. Oh, that's how you hit this. And so we went and played 18 holes after the camp, and I shot like 15 under my handicap because I was a 40 handicap.
Right.
And I shot, played to like a 30 or 25 or something. And they were like, oh my gosh. So they selected me on the team. My dad thought it was so funny. So then I got in the system of like the state system of golf, and then they just really encouraged you, and I was in clinics every week and month, and they were like really on board with supporting my golf.
Right.
So it was really my dad. I mean, had I not gone to that camp, I don't know that I would be
fascinating
here right now. Did you still be in Adelaide?
That's like, whoa.
I know. We never know.
Because golf has brought you golf has brought you all around the world.
Yeah, it's the most amazing game. I'm so lucky. And I've met the most incredible people.
Thank you.
Right? Right here. And think about, like, you know, meeting Bob Parsons and, like, now, you know, having an involvement with PXG. I mean,
and so talk about that. Does that go beyond sort of representing them, or is there some other element, or what is it?
Yeah, I mean, he sponsored me when I played on tour. I was a GoDaddy girl.
Right.
So we met.
Whoa. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jeff, you might know PXG is this, you know, the new golf club on the scene. It stands for Parsons Extreme Golf. Bob Parsons started it. He also started GoDaddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I back then, you know, he was running GoDaddy and they were crushing it, and they had Danica and they had a couple of other GoDaddy girls, and they wanted to expand, and Bob loved golf. And so he was kind of, you know, had a caddy. I think he had an Aussie caddy at Whisper Rock. And amazing. The Whisper Rock caddy was like, you need to sign, you know, Anna Rawson. And so eventually he did. And we met, and it turned out that we just like hit it off. I mean, like, he's just amazing.
So you were down from the beginning.
Yeah. So we became friends and just kept in touch, you know, after I stopped playing. And he was always, he's the best. He was always like, Anna, like, come on, get back out there. You know, like, always wanted me to play again. And I'm like, Bob, you know, I'm actually going to go to business school. I want to be like an entrepreneur like you. You know, I want to make my $1 billion. I don't think I'm gonna make $1 billion playing golf.
Even Tiger and Jack have had trouble.
I know.
They're only in the high 900 millions.
And then try making 20 times less as a woman.
Right.
So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, so we just became friends. And then when I was in business school, he would call me and he'd be like, I think I'm going to start a golf company, after he sold GoDaddy and, you know, got his $1 billion or whatever. And he was just like, I'm going to start a golf company. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't think there are any good clubs. And like every time I would see him, he would have like the latest, greatest equipment. Like, you know, and then 1 week we'd be playing, because we both have homes in Hawaii. So we play right. a lot there. And then, like, he'd overnight FedEx would be on the range and there'd be a new set. And he's like, I think these are going to give me the edge today. And I, you know, I'm going to get here. And I'd be like, oh my God, you just got the clubs. Like, so he was spending
It takes months to fit into a club.
I think he was spending like $300,000 a year at Cool Clubs.
That's the answer. Start your own company. He had the guy.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm already spending this. I may as well like invest in some like engineers and give them the $300,000 and make my own clubs. And that's honestly how it started. He was like, I can't find anything that will make me better.
Whoa.
And so, and I saw it.
He's a good golfer, right?
He's pretty good. Yeah. He's like a 12, 14 handicap. I think he says he's a 14, but he's really like much better than that.
Right.
So it was crazy. And then he'd call me and he'd be like, so I met these guys and like, I'm working on it. And I'd be like, okay. And he's like, I'm going to see you next week. I'm going to bring you a 5-iron. And so we'd hit it on the range and like, I would hit it and I'd be like, you know, and he's like, I did a couple of times. I'm like, couldn't get it in the air, you know, or something, or, you know, just wasn't really high. And he'd be like, and I can't hit it. He'd be on the phone, like talking to the engineer, and I can't hit it. Try again. You know, so it was like iterations and iterations, and it was so cool, like to see and to like be on that ground level and be close to him and see how it all evolved. And then finally, I remember him calling me. He's like, Ryan Moore's put it in the bag. He's playing it.
And that was like, a big deal.
No way. And he was playing. Bob
was
playing.
Ryan was the first on the PGA Tour, right?
Yeah. He's like, somehow Mike Nicolette, the engineer, gave him the clubs and said, hey, would you just hit us for me and let me know what you think? Like, we're working on something. And Ryan's like, I'm not giving him back. And so he played the prototype for like the first year.
Whoa.
And actually still have the prototypes and they're amazing. I still go back and hit them every now and then.
Are they branded? Like, are the prototypes branded?
Yeah, they have like an X on them.
Just so an X? No PXG logo?
They have all the PXG logo or whatever, but it's 0311X. Mm. So... And I still, I have them.
That's $1 billion. You just save those.
Right.
And sell them eventually.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe not a billion.
The first one. So yeah, it's just been the coolest thing. And like just to see the company grow and what it's done. And I just feel so lucky to be a part of it. And
it's so cool to look at, you know, innovation, not only in golf, but in the world. Like, you know, like it's so funny to hear your reaction to Bob being like, I'm going to start a golf company. And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Because if you came to me and you were like, I'm going to start a search engine and I'm going to call it Google.
Right.
I would have been like,
good luck.
Have fun wasting your life.
Yes.
I'll be over here actually doing something. Meanwhile, right. I just can't figure anything out. And so it's interesting to me to be, you know, I guess I'm in a fertile place in golf at the front of the wing, if you will. Right. Like, and so it's interesting to look at how the golf industry is changing. And really, I mean, I got pulled into it in the same way your dad pulled you into it. And now I'm kind of here in the tumble cycle and I'm like starting to see like, wait a minute, there's this. And I'm seeing, you know, when you play those games where you sort of memory games where you flip over the card and you're like car, Eiffel Tower. Oh, those go together. I'm starting to kind of see that in golf a little bit. And so it's interesting to talk about someone like Bob and your involvement with him and just how newness comes about. And it's so surprising.
Yeah. It's so cool. I mean, just to see that like anyone can, not necessarily anyone, I mean, he had $1 billion, but like,
helps.
You know, but he's a risk taker.
Yeah.
And he was really solving a need for himself.
Right.
Which that's quite often how some companies, you know, start. So... I don't know. Have you hit the Gen 2 irons?
You know, I have.
And
I actually went in to get new clubs a year and a half ago.
Okay.
I went to Urban Golf.
Okay, great.
And I was going to pay. So I went in and I hit them.
Okay. Well, so you hit Gen 1 because Gen 2 wasn't out then.
A year and a half ago? I haven't hit Gen 2 then. You're right.
Oh. Okay.
You're right. So,
okay. What happened with Gen 1?
First off, I lied. Second off, I like them. I actually wanted them.
Okay, great. Good.
And I ended up hitting the JPX 900s as good.
Oh.
Mizuno.
Okay.
Yeah, so I played Mizuno. I paid for them.
Wow.
So I have to say that. I just clarify to everybody. I paid for the fucking clubs.
Okay.
You know,
but, and you're still using them a year and a half later?
I still use them. Yeah.
Okay.
I like.
Okay. Now it's time to hit Gen 2.
I think one of the things.
Especially because if you thought that you were equal hitting, because now the Gen 2 is. Now everyone's hitting better, so.
I'm all about it. You know, but I did talk to Rocco Media about PXG. Obviously, he's paid by Bob, but he was like, it's all loft.
Right.
Is that true? Yeah, no. he was like, my 5-iron is a 4-iron.
No.
And I was like, dude, what?
No,
like,
because they're
I'm
all...
I'm pretty sure Bob, first of all, wouldn't instruct you to say this. And two, I'm sure that I would have heard this.
No, it's not. Because it's all... I mean, they test against every single club. Like, they test everything.
Yeah, you know? They're so hot.
If it's not...
Basically, they're filled with popcorn. No, they're filled with like some type of foam.
Exactly.
Right?
And they have the world's thinnest face.
Ah.
So that's why they have that trampoline rebound effect. So
right.
That with the core technology, I think it's called, on the Gen 2 that they have behind it is what makes it like... trampoline off the face and what makes it go further and higher and
right.
But the Gen 2s, what I'm finding is they're more forgiving,
really,
and it's so funny. So I have the players, so they have like a tour model, a players model, an XF,
and a shithead model.
Well, XF's extra forgiveness, and then they have a super game improvement model, right?
Whoa.
And
that's for you, Jeff, you get those.
No, this is crazy. So my friend who's, you know, 26 handicap, she just got the SGIs, and we were hitting the other day, and so I just pulled them out and I hit them and I was like, no way.
Really?
And so I called Bob and then I saw Bob actually posted on Instagram and he's now using the SGIs.
Amazing.
And I was like, what? So I called him and I was like, you have to tell me everything. And then the end of the phone call, he's like, I'm sending you the SGIs. Cause I have no ego.
Right.
Like if I hit it better,
yeah,
it's in my bag.
Right.
Like it doesn't have to look pretty to me.
Yeah.
So he's
do you have a 9-wood in your bag?
I don't. Should I be using a 9-wood? I don't think PXG makes that.
I was joking. Because, you know, sometimes they have these like crazy lofted
clubs.
Woods. Do you think Bob would be on the podcast?
He would totally
be on
the
podcast.
On
the podcast.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, especially if you fly to Arizona.
Let's call him right now.
Should we? We could.
You should. It'd be really funny. This is what we do. You don't have to if you don't want
he
to.
Might not
it'd
answer.
Be really funny. You should just call him. And if
he might just get his assistant. So.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have an assistant.
Good for him.
He's pretty, you know.
Good
I
for
mean,
him.
That, you know, blocks his phone calls. He has someone that helps him out.
Yeah.
But,
right, right.
You know,
I went to the PXG office.
When
they were in the, it was, it looked more like, at the time, a Harley-Davidson showroom, which it was.
Right.
And they were just sort of beginning there. And we were talking about some things that were really interesting at the time, and you know, it was a good thing. They gave me a hat, so that
awesome.
Was nice. I got a hat that
there
says PXG.
That's good.
But and you know, the other the first PXG introduction I had was Dana Dahlquist.
Okay, great.
Who
yes,
I think
my swing coach.
Your swing coach.
Yes.
And my sort of friend who gives me swing tips
right?
every once in a while.
The best swing tips, right?
Dana was we just recorded a podcast together.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Can you talk about Dana a little bit?
I love Dana. Yeah. We've worked together now 15
Holy
years,
shit.
I think. Yeah. No,
that's
13.
A long time.
Yeah. I know. I like to say that I discovered him. Because now my whole network of friends, every single person goes to him or signs up for his golf academy now.
That's the thing is when you go to Dana, you really do become converted pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, his information is
you see changes
so good
in your swing.
Yeah. And so we've been together a long time. So I've seen him like evolve too. Like we kind of like grew up together.
Right.
But immediately he just was able to explain, you know, this way. He was a Macro Grady disciple, and that really made sense to me.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, very athletic movement. So, you know, that's where he started. And I actually saw him 2 days before I went to European Tour School.
No way.
And so because I was kind of like in between coaches, I'd worked with Brady Riggs for a while.
Yeah.
And then.
What is that? Lakes? Called? Woodley?
Woodley Lakes, yeah. Exactly. And then I was kind of working with Dave Stockton and Ron
cool.
Stockton. But then Dave was still playing on the Champions Tour at that point, so it was like hard to get a hold of him. And so I was kind of in transition, and I met Dana randomly at Hartwell Golf Course where he was teaching, which was the home of Tiger Woods.
No way.
Yeah, and it's a 9-hole course, and I was like, I just had moved to Marina Del Rey and I was kind of checking out like Long Beach and courses. And I thought, you know, my wedge game sucks. I need to go play this like 9-hole course. And I met him on the first tee and I swung And he's like, he came right over to me and he's like, you have a great swing. Do you work with David Ledbetter? And I was like, no. And he's like, but I think I can really help you.
Amazing. And so
I was he told me he does this. So he just walked right up to me and he gave me his card. And so I like called him that night. I was like, okay, you said you could help me. I'm literally going to Q school in 2 days. I have no idea what I'm doing. He's like, come out and I'll just fit you in between all my lessons for 2 days and we'll get it in order. And like I led tour school, end up finishing second, but like it was immediate.
This is, when he's 25 at the time, right? Because he's like 40 now, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is great.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
And I'm 21 or 20. Yeah. Just graduated college. So yeah. So it was so cool. And then we just like, I mean, he's my guy. I mean, ever since then. So we kind of, yeah, grew up together. And then, you know, he got into Stack and Tilt. And so we were.
I didn't realize he was in Stack and Tilt.
Yeah. So I was stacked, baby.
That's a bit. For a while. Those are murky waters.
I know. Well, they were hot. They were really hot. I mean, I think that was unfortunate branding mistake with the name Stack and Tilt because everyone was like, Stack, Tilt, which was not what it was. It was actually like Stack and then Tilt. Right. It actually was an amazing swing.
So if you're doing Dana's swing, it's not Stack and Tilt now.
No, yeah. So he evolved like after, you know, he just started to look at more swings and kind of like he liked that theory. He's always had his own take on it.
Yeah.
But he kind of moved away from that more as he started to see, you know, the McElroy swings and you know, the power they were generating and the Dustin Johnsons. And as you saw the tour, I mean, everything's kind of modeled off the tour, right? Yeah. And you see these patterns. And so he, evolved. And so now I'm like working more on that, which, you know, works for me. Yeah, it's constantly changing.
Right.
Which is
so fun. You have, one of my favorite parts of your swing is your hands are like high. Aren't they?
Yes,
is that
they
still
are
the case?
High. Yeah, you know, and then we work on hands. That. We work on that. I've got really long arms.
Right.
Like an amazing.
Yeah, you're actually seated touching the ceiling.
Right? It's great. So I was like really good at basketball because I was a defender. I would block everyone.
I actually met James Worthy this morning.
Oh, cool.
Huge hands.
Right?
A huge hands.
Yeah,
like
long,
literally.
Big arms.
Like if he put a softball in his hand, his fingers would touch around the other side.
Crazy. Yeah, so I think that's why my arms tend to go up a little bit. But yeah, he's always wanted me to be shorter and tighter.
Yeah.
And now it's funny, he's kind of changed his tune. He's like, you know
what? I don't care
about
the hands.
Long is good. Yeah. You know, that's fine. And for me, it's a rhythm thing. So
yeah, and that's what he says to me. So do you get the club parallel at the top or do you keep it a bit more abbreviated now?
It's parallel past.
You go past.
Yeah.
That's what happens with high hands. And DJ does it and Daly does it. Phil does
it. Lexi Thompson.
High hands, you're going past.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
So I took a lesson on Friday.
Okay, good.
And, you know, the experience for me was I took the lesson. I increased ball speed, miles per hour, everything immediately.
Right.
I haven't seen him in a year. Like I've just been traveling and not really caring about score.
Okay.
You know, I went to Augusta, I brought my cut with me and I hit one in the water on 12, you know, and
oh,
I don't
no.
really care. I fucking wish I had gone with my swing.
Cause it's made for a cut.
I would have bolted a pitching wedge in there. Yeah. See, I actually think 12 is made for a cut, but I probably would prefer to hit a draw just because a draw would counteract. I feel like wind along. Okay. Let's get out of that. But, I leave the lesson. And I've got 3 days until this tournament, or 2.5 days.
Okay.
And I've hit so many balls. And this new athletic swing, he's got me turning that left shoulder super low.
Yeah, good.
And my right leg is straight. And all of a sudden, I'm in these positions. And I'm like, I'm feeling like things in my spine. Like, I'm almost like my back is hurting. My knee is hurting. My elbow's hurting. And I'm like, this always happens. You know, because Dana's swing is very athletic.
Yeah.
And so, but the trade-off is I hold out for eagle.
There
like
you
a laser.
See?
I mean, like that thing was online.
Yeah, when it's on, it's on.
Right? And you know when the ball, like, you know when you, there's like a couple ways of hitting the ball sweet, right? There's the one where the ball just like rolls up the club face and you're like, eh. Mm-hmm. But then there's the one where the ball hits the sweet spot and it's just like Falcon 3.
It's orgasmic.
Yeah, right? It really is. Mm-hmm. It's that.
Nothing feels better.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the short irons too, because those in some ways for me, are a little bit harder to hit sweet because of the low bounce because compared to an iron. Dana.
He's amazing. And I'm just like so proud of him too. Like his profile has really grown. And
because
he's such a humble guy. He's not a self-promoter at all.
I told him he was world famous and he was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
and I was like, buddy, like, you're like teaching some of the best people in golf how to play golf.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of you.
I know. I really want him to get Tiger.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there, Tiger.
Could it happen?
Call Dana.
Could it happen?
Could it happen?
Is he still with DeMarco?
I don't think he's with anyone, right?
Tiger's just on the moon.
And then Tiger's very good friends with Grant Waite because they live in Florida together. And Grant's really good friends with Dana. So there's a connection. Yeah. I mean,
well, Grant and Dana work together, right?
Right.
I talked to Grant a little bit.
Now that's the best swing in golf, right?
You think so?
I think so.
He's a head case, though.
Right. That's what I've heard.
Self-admitted. He said it to me.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
But, you know. I love watching his swing.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite Instagram then.
Really?
He never posts, but.
No.
Occasionally.
What do you think about.
Repeat.
What do you think about Hideki's swing?
Beautiful.
It's so interesting. It just like, this may be racist, but it's just so Japanese to me.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. It's just like cute, well done, not too crazy.
Top.
Yeah. Very patient.
Yeah.
Very polite.
Yeah.
But also like powerful and intentional.
But I love Ryan Moore's swing.
And I can't watch Ryan Moore's swing.
I love it. I think it's so, and I love Furyk.
I watch Ryan Moore's swing and I become immediately dyslexic.
I know, it's like, but if you see it in person, I don't know. I don't know. I like all different types of swings.
Ryan Moore has a great takeaway and it's silky-esque.
So silky.
But I don't know. For my money, I'm taking Adam Scott's version of Tiger's swing.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dana would say that, well, you interviewed him, but he would say that Adam Scott has the best swing in golf.
Yeah. I mean, he does. He's on plane that the question is he ever off plane?
Right.
Like, so I don't think he is.
Why isn't he winning everything?
That is the question.
Putting, right?
Yeah, he needs a 9-foot putter, and he's not allowed to play with that anymore.
I know.
Which is crazy.
That is crazy.
What do you think about golf?
What a vague question.
I love it. I feel so lucky to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so lucky that I was able to play on the tour, which was awesome. So fun. And then to still be a part of it and work with brands now, you know, work with PXG, work with Tory Sport. These great brands, and I just feel lucky.
What do you have to say to the people that are listening out there that just started?
I think it's really important to have a weekly lesson.
Really?
Yeah.
But what for me, money is a prohibiting factor. Like when I started, I was not able to afford a lesson. Like straight up. Because I mean, even your cheapest lesson at your local course is going to be the cost of 3 entrees at Sizzler.
Right.
2, maybe 3. Depends on what.
How did you learn initially? Were you just sort of.
Well, I guess now you can sign up for Revolution Golf. Yeah. You can sign up for Dana's course. So you can do like some more online.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I guess you do have the internet, so you can do it. But I would like really focus on, for me, like I couldn't hit the ball in the air until someone told me how to do it. So golf is not intuitive at all. It's the hardest game ever. So no one picks it up and is perfect at it. So you have to, I think, really learn the fundamentals, whether you want to read a book, watch the internet, or go get a lesson. I think that's the most important thing because most people don't stick with it because it's hard.
That's sad. There is a high attrition rate.
Yeah. I think that's the reason. And I tell people, I was like, when you go to play tennis, do you go and just play? No. You like hit with a pro.
Yeah.
So golf's the same.
I talked with the...
Or Pilates. You get a Pilates instructor. Right.
That's true. I couldn't do Pilates. I talked with the USGA yesterday and they were saying that actually the problem isn't new people playing. We've got that. 2 million people a year begin. The problem is 15 million people a year stop.
Right. It's so hard.
And I was
like,
whoa.
15 million stop?
It's so interesting that USGA knows that. And then they like had that change of the groove rule. Can you remember that?
With the no box grooves.
Where they made it harder for people to like spin the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's really not. And the PGA Tour scores haven't gone down. Of course, it doesn't affect them. It affects everyone else.
I wonder why they changed that rule.
I'm like, Bob, you should just make like happy hour grooves. You know, you
need just like zippers.
Yeah.
Just like ball cutters.
Right. And make it more fun for people. Diamond because grooves. They're non-conforming.
Yeah, you should make a diamond groove.
Right. I don't know. So that was interesting. Like USGA changed that. And I thought that was like the dumbest thing.
Right.
And really bad for the golf industry. Interesting. They had to get rid of all of the clubs. And, you know, it was like they had to make all new wedges. And then there's all that inventory there. So that was
weird. They went from box
grooves. I'm all about making golf easier.
Yeah.
Like I would widen the hole maybe.
Whoa.
Oh.
You'd go 4.5 inches?
Yeah, why not?
Whoa.
I like watching it go.
Revolutionary.
Right?
Yeah.
Make it easier, more people to play. Like, I mean, maybe not that far, but I'm all for like equipment
yeah.
changes. Like people, you know, don't like the golf ball. I'm like, I want to hit it further, farther. Like yeah. I want scores to go lower.
Yeah.
I want more people to be able to take up the game.
Yeah. Did you listen to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast at all about the private clubs in LA?
No. What did he say?
You gotta check it
out.
Oh,
I love Malcolm Gladwell.
He's really good, but he does not give golf a good rap.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does he say?
Well, he just talks about how the public is prohibited from experiencing what is essentially public land mm-hmm. that is avoiding property tax by like some crazy okay. loophole from the 70s.
Yes.
And, you know, specifically in LA, we've got seven clubs, and they're all paying pennies on the dollar for property tax. And, right. and the public who's essentially subsidizing that property isn't allowed to access it.
Right.
And so for me as a member of a club, I'm like, yeah, you know, he's right. You know,
yeah,
and like when you go to Scotland and Ireland, you look at the private courses, anyone can play at a certain time, like Mondays, whatever, Wednesdays, okay, even yeah. Muirfield.
Right.
One of the most exclusive kind of, you know, conservative clubs there are. So I don't know. I was just thinking about that. And as far as that's one of the things I would like to see somehow
change. Yeah.
I don't know if I have the power to do that at this point in my life, but it'd be right. really interesting to look at like, how could we mandate that if all these clubs are going to really mm-hmm. essentially suck the money out of the public's pocket in a subtle way, why aren't they mandated to be open to the public for a certain period of time?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Because, you know, you travel around and I mean, there's a lot of courses all over the world that are on public property where there's a walking path and people right. can go experience a dog walk.
Yeah. But I don't know that, you know, playing really nice courses when you're a beginner really matters to like taking it up or not. You know,
I agree.
It's more just like, how do we make it easier for people
yeah.
to start and have
different
enjoyment?
Point. Different
and
point,
so
yeah.
that's why I mean, I love what PXG is doing too.
Right.
I mean, just trying to like make the SGI, make it easier for people to hit. I mean, that's what Bob said. He's like, you can't miss this club, you know?
Right.
So I want to see innovation in equipment.
I bet I could miss it. I bet I could miss with it.
No, I don't think. I think you'll be like having so many double eagles.
Right.
Right?
That's funny because that's what I want.
Double eagles?
That's exactly what I want.
Or hole in one?
I could go for another hole in one. Anyone?
Yes.
Yeah, you did that hole in one contest or
it's
the
challenge.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
didn't work out so well.
It's hard.
I sat on a par three until I got a hole in one. And after 2 days, I left.
Right.
I
you
hit
did?
1,500 shots or something.
And did you hit the pin?
No, I got like an inch or two away a couple
That's
times.
That's good.
I mean,
That's
it's
really
hard.
Good.
So did
yeah.
Eduardo Molinari tried the same thing, and he didn't get one.
He didn't?
No.
Wow. He's so good.
What, do you have any questions for me? Jeff, anyone? Do you have any questions?
Hmm.
I feel we're pretty good here. I just want, you know, legally speaking, I have to offer you a chance to depose the...
Well, talking to the USGA, did you ever talk about like the pay gap in between the US Women's Open winner and the men's? Does that ever come up?
You know, I didn't bring it up because it
that?
Was a it was essentially a a work call.
Okay.
So, you know, I thought maybe I would just but that is an interesting discussion topic that I would like to have with them at some point.
Right.
But yeah, because that's I mean, that exists in every golf tournament on earth.
I know. Yeah.
So I would say
I think it's different outside of the USGA because the USGA, you know, all their sponsorship money is pooled, right?
Oh.
It's for like all tournaments.
Interesting.
So then I think there's an argument.
Right.
With the LPGA and the PGA, it's, you know, different entities. They have
yeah.
different sponsors. It's not the same thing.
Literally different businesses.
Totally different businesses. So I get why there's a, you know, a difference there, but I don't really understand when it's all under one entity that you
right.
pay someone more for winning
yeah.
than the other person if it's all pooled.
Yeah. Well, once they pay me, then I will talk to them about that.
Right.
Once I get my check.
Waiting for that check to clear.
I can't wait to see what the check from the USGA looks like. We're
awesome.
Going to do something cool together. It's actually going to be
okay,
really cool.
Great.
We're
going to
do a project centered around the future of golf. And I think it's going to be really interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's all I can say right now. I think actually well, I just got in trouble for
I'm
saying that.
I'm excited that you're involved with them.
Yeah. I think it'll be good. And to me, it was really cool because... You know, my job normally is I work with the PGA Tour, and they have one job, which is actually, you know, not necessarily to grow the game, right? Their job is actually to
right.
grow
promote the
their
PGA
app
Tour.
And to get more money for their players.
Right.
And that's not a cynical thing to say. It's just fucking numbers. It's business.
Yes.
Just like Bob Parsons.
They have
like
a great
his,
business, by
his,
the way.
Bob Parsons' job is literally to sell more clubs.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there may be a secondary job, which is to improve the enjoyment of players.
Yes.
But, you know, primarily, and so the USGA's job is quite literally to grow the game. And so I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Their main market is the 99.999% of the golfing public that plays golf mm-hmm. and unfortunately stops playing.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about that problem
yeah.
and how do we fix that? And it's my belief that some of that has to do with, you know, that golf is this kind of snake that we charm. And mm-hmm. the first couple of years, it's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, you know, we realize that we haven't maybe learned the lessons that we need to learn. And we're getting angry because we thought we could play the game for score, you know, right. no matter how good you are.
Yeah.
Right. You can't play for score. You have to play for feel. And we see that with the best players in the world on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Even Adam Scott's a great example. He's one of the best players in the world. Yet when he plays for score, he loses.
Right.
But when he's out there just playing, yeah. all of a sudden he's 6 under on the day.
Right.
And so I think even amateurs have that problem where when we go out there, you know, we sort of get fooled into this like carrot. And then all mm-hmm. of a sudden we're not enjoying it. And that's sad because you know who told us to do that? Well, the PGA Tour.
Right.
They didn't tell us how to play golf, and neither did the USGA. The USGA told the golf courses how to run their business, which is a restaurant, which is like a farm, which right. is like hospitality. But no one ever told the golfer how to enjoy the game right now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a sad moment because it's like, whoa, dude, we are in need of like therapy.
We are.
You know?
That's so true.
Because you see it. Like I played golf this morning. Dude, throwing clubs.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, you're twice my age.
What are you doing?
Keep the clubs in your fucking bag. Yeah. Smile at your bogeys and let's fucking get out of here because it's a Thursday morning. It's 6 a.m.
Well, that's why Instagram's good, right? To see like people having fun
yeah.
playing golf.
I agree.
Right? So it's like voyeurism.
Well, Instagram is our own blog right now. That's yeah. the way I look at it. Is yeah. I'm a journalist and that's really, you know,
yes.
an yeah. unfiltered look at the way I think and feel.
But don't you also think with golf, like what's hard is you may start the game, like playing with your parents or like, you know, with your friends. And, you know, when you're young, like there's junior rates and junior things and it's first tee and things like that. But then you get into the working world
yeah.
and you have to work and you're busy and you're, you know, you're trying to make it in your 20s. So you kind of, you know, unless it's like your number one passion, maybe you're playing on the weekends once, but you're really like working and grinding. And then you're getting to a point where like, okay, maybe I'm mid 30s, 40s. Now I can afford a club
right.
and now I can join, but you've left the game for like 15 years. And
right.
so you're taking it up when you're older and your body's stiff and all of that. Like, you know, there's that gap. Like I've always said, like there needs to be a program after the first tee for like people in their 20s. Like, and maybe that's Top Golf. I don't
yeah,
know. I
could
think
be.
They're doing a great job.
Top Golf is a very fun experience. It's I support cool. it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I haven't played yet, but
yeah, you will. It'll come soon.
Yeah. You think it's coming to LA? Wouldn't that be amazing?
So. It has to.
Wish
I feel like it's coming to the Valley. I don't know.
Oh,
I haven't heard that, but
like Chatsworth area down there.
That would be,
think where would be.
That would be outside my radius of potential trips, but yeah,
I'd be into it.
Well, let's do it. We'll make our own Top Golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next
got a simulator here in Hollywood.
Well,
there's
I am.
Some wild simulator parties
I'm thinking
here.
About that. Okay. Well, that's enough, right? enough business plans have been shared. Thank you for coming out, Anna.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
It. Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you.
Is there anything you want to edit out that you want to talk about?
Just everything.
No, we did
take
good.
It all out.
We did good. I don't think we offended anybody.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, bye.